The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The Survivor Specialist Phil and McKenna are back, and today we are recapping Survivor AU Brains vs. Braun 2, Week 5, Episodes 13, 14, and 15, and we are joined a second time on this channel, first time for Survivor AU, by Philip Solomon from Deal or No Deal Island, which, if you don't want spoilers for Deal or No Deal Island, I don't know how I can introduce Philip without specifically saying robbed Philip. Didn't get to see last week, but who has an Australian Survivor connection here, being that he got to play a game with David, for all of you who also don't want spoilers on earlier Australian Survivor seasons, the winner of Survivor Australia All-Stars or Australian Survivor All-Stars. So, Philip, here you are. Welcome back. How's it going?
It is so good to be talking about an island that is not my own, but let's talk about the full circle growth evolution of playing with the golden god and having no idea that Survivor Australia was even a thing. To full circle, I am now here talking about Australian Survivor. If that is not millennial growth and development, I don't know what is.
Do I need to take my picture of Parvati off from the background, or is it okay?
It's kind of a trigger. No, I'm joking completely. All good. All good. I swear.
I love that, you know, here you are, you go out there for a show, you don't even realize it exists. You end up playing with one of the revered players of that show. I almost wanted to call it a sport because it feels like Australian Survivor sometimes can be a sport, but of that sport, and you get to play with him and you don't know it. And then you find out after, and now here you are watching Australian Survivor. Are you digging Australian Survivor so far this season?
I am. I think that I am loving seeing the new challenges, and just their kind of overall strategy gameplay seems a lot more polite and personable and less aggressive than America, but I can't tell whether it's actually what they're saying or just their super nice accents. I can't figure it out just yet. I was like, I think it's the accents though.
Go ahead, McKenna. I see you want to jump.
No, I'm good.
Okay. I think that you're onto something with that, Philip, because AJ is getting away with murder on this season, I think. And maybe Australians aren't immune to their own accent, because this man just comes out and he is, I mean, they're talking about him at this merge challenge of he's so fake. Listen to him talk to Kate. I am a robot. They're making fun of him, but he keeps getting away with it. They keep letting him do whatever he wants to do. They had a chance to boot him at the end of this week. And we jump around on here, Philip, just so you know, but they had a chance to boot him at the end of this week and they don't do it. Instead, electing to boot our witch, who is now gone. And I just can't believe that they're allowing AJ and Miles, who we're gonna have to talk a lot about Miles today. Oof. I can't believe they're letting both of them keep going through this game.
I have to be honest with you. I think that now that I've been on the other side of the whole animal that is reality TV, I'm a firm believer that AJ, because you see a few of them on my show, AJ is really a different person in confessionals versus in the actual social gameplay. Because confessional AJ, I'm like, he should have been gone a while ago. But as you're seeing him make these like human connections and talk to people and smile, like the smile he's giving to the other people in the game, we never see that in the confessional. So shout out to him for knowing how to be able to split that well.
And I also think that he might be losing some allies, but gaining new ones. Like, he has Kate and Morgan on lock. So they don't know, they haven't played with him to know, like, some of his more shady moves, where Karin is just like, I don't know how much I want to deal with AJ anymore, where she's seriously considering someone who she considered a deep ally in the game to get rid of at the end of these three episodes. Mm-hmm.
I think the smartest thing that he is doing is exactly what you're saying, is that, and I think in American Survivor, you almost want to be known as either like the hero or the villain, and you're just like one thing to the group, the cast, so on and so forth. But what AJ is doing really well is he's forging these amazing individual relationships so that it actually allows people to kind of make their own judgment on him without necessarily comparing the notes, which I think is smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a finger in every pie right now. And I think that's what's been amazing to watch. I mean, when Kate and Morgan, we were being set up before the merge happened, that Kate and Morgan were going to go with the women, that it was going to be, you know, the coven getting back together. I was saying last week that I felt the story of this season was getting Laura and Logan back together, which could still be the story of the season if Logan sits a final tribal and Laura ultimately votes for her. But it feels like all of a sudden, out of nowhere, nope, Kate and Morgan are ready to go with AJ. They're ready to play with AJ. They want to go that route. And that kind of blew my mind. And I think for as much of a villain I think AJ has been, I believe he would fall into the villain category because of what we're hearing in confessionals to the audience. He's a villain. For as much of a villain as he's been, he has a way of making people feel comfortable. And maybe if you stay around him long enough, you'll start to say, is this a facade? This doesn't seem real. But if you're not around him that long, he makes very good first impressions, and we're seeing that play out for him so far this season.
Yeah, and when they first started on Braun 2.0, Noonan, Pauly, Kristen, Ursula also all felt good with AJ until they got a little bit more time with him and saw he was selling the same thing to everyone and then just being like, no, I'm really with you. I'm just telling her all this or telling him all this. So he's really like recycling allies. And he even said in a previous episode, like, I can get new ones. That's not a big deal. I can burn and get new. So he's proving that to be a fact here with Morgan and Kate for sure.
I'm just going to stop you here. Did you say, and I quote, he's got his finger in every pie? Because I just need to rewind for, like, is that a quick American Pie reference from like 2002? I just need to stop the bus real quick for this and then we can go, I swear. But I just had to confirm that that's what you said.
It is. It's an idiom. It's wow. From way back in the day before, I'm assuming my grandmother probably said this back in the 30s or 40s before American Pie came out. All right, and then American Pie really, really put something else in other people's minds when you think of finger in a pie. But thankfully, I'm going with the 30s, 40s version of this. Although, you know, speaking of that, we can't not have the line in here of Pauly and Miles bonding here over, you know, I think I can work well from the bottom. And then the lineup, I think you always do very well from the bottom. And it was like, hello, okay, where are we at?
Are you coming on to me? And I was like, regular Survivor would never. Like,
no.
American Survivor would never.
Literally, Jeff Probst would never. Not gonna fly.
Tremendous, though. I love that stuff. So, yes, I did. That is where I went with that. Yes, but so we have a lot of chaos that went on here. So I first want to address something from last week before we even get into this a little bit more in depth. Ben leaves the game. That is the end of that. We literally
right into the challenge. Insane.
We literally never heard another word about why Ben left. As an audience, we are left totally in the dark about his injury, about his illness, about anything. And I was saying last week, maybe there's some lawsuit issues. Maybe there's some other issues. I don't know. And maybe Australian Survivor doesn't want to show it because of that. Super weird, though. This is the first time in Survivor history that somebody has left the game and we truly as an audience have no idea what took place and no one mentioned it. They cut every mention of Ben leaving the game out of it.
I can't tell you much, but here's what I will say. We had a very similar situation. You will see all of that unfold, but like, I'm telling you, it has to be a legal reason or a medical reason, because other than that, they try to give some kind of explanation for everything. So it needs to be something that is so off the wall that they were like, you know what? We're just going to leave this alone, because they try to explain everything.
Yeah, and it seemed like Ben put out that Instagram post and everything where he seemed like he was in a good mood. He, you know, Survivor, it just wore me down. I had pneumonia. I had torn something. And it was like all these issues. But he seemed like he was fine. He didn't seem like he was negative about anything. Crazy to me. And I do know that Australian Survivor has had an issue in the past where I believe somebody tried to sue them for breaking a bone. And I haven't gotten to that season yet in my watch. But I'm pretty sure somebody tried to sue them because of a bone. So perhaps they're a little bit more careful with what they're doing here, but I just can't believe it. Poor Ben, he's out. We know nothing about it. And we have moved on and forgotten that man even existed. I think that's crazy.
I may or may not have had to look it up to remember who he was. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that was Ben the entire season. And since he went out that way, I'm pretty sure that's why they purpled him and didn't give him much of an edit, is because they kind of like secretly let him go from the show, or he secretly left from the show. So like they didn't want the audience to get attached to Ben, if you could get attached to Ben.
Yeah.
So
there had to be something to get attached to. I always ask myself every year, thousands of people try out for this show. Like, how come they are on the show? So I have to believe that there is more there. I just wish we got to see whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. All right, let's jump into episode 13. So we have Merge. The first thing is a cocktail party, and they have to hang onto these ropes that are all connected to each other. So there's different slack for everybody. We end up getting Logan, Zara, and Kate at the end. And Logan and Zara say, we will step down, Kate, if you take us on the cocktail party. So then she is allowed to take a bunch of people on this cocktail party with her. So Kate wins. She takes Logan. She takes Zara. She takes Morgan. She takes Paulie. She takes AJ. And then JLP says, you get to take one more. And she takes Kristen. Decisions, decisions. What do we think about the decision here of who Kate took with her?
Checks out. I think... checks out. Morgan was always going to be next. And then once she was allowed to keep going, AJ talking to her on during the challenge and helping her keep going, I think that solidified that. And I want to say Kate was in okay with Paulie enough to bring him along. And he is like that charismatic guy. I didn't understand the Kristen one because I feel like they weren't working as much together, but maybe just, you know, bring another girl that you knew.
Mm-hmm. I think from a player perspective, I understand who she picked, why she picked. I understand that I'm there. From a producer perspective, what I will say is what is done far better in Australia than America. Don't the ghost of Jeff destroy my house somewhere. But at the same time, here's what I will say. I love the fact that she got to bring so many people with her, because in America, they might get to bring like one guest or two or three, which immediately means they won a reward, but they've also won a large target on them. When you let her bring that many people, it really turns into the haves and the have-nots instead of just like a let's target those three while they're gone. It really does mean that the tribe really can't move forward until they get home again.
Mm-hmm. And I love that too, because in Brains versus Brawn 1, the episodes that McKenna and I just got to or getting up to, there's a challenge at Final 9 where five people win immunity and then four people are eligible to be voted out. And now we're watching this season and we see them, you know, get to choose where seven people go on this reward at the end. Seven of the 13 get to go to the cocktail party. What American Survivor has been doing is when they hit the merge, they're breaking off into these two teams of six. One team is safe, one team is not. The person who's not selected generally picks a side, and that's your mergatory. Half the people can be voted for, half can't, half get a feast, half don't. That's all drawn by rocks and stuff, though. And I think that American Survivor has a serious issue with rocks and random luck. They need to start to allow the players to make decisions because it makes for more entertaining TV. You look at Kate's decisions here. She had to take Kate and she had to take Logan and Zara. She had no choice. So she had to take Logan and Zara because that's what she said. Then she takes Morgan. That's who she's friends with. Paulie, original alliance, original tribe. AJ, he was nice to me. Now let's see what this guy's all about. I'm assuming Kate, who doesn't really know AJ at all, has heard a lot of people talking about AJ. Then she turns around and takes Kristen, who was on her original starting tribe, to potentially try to work with a little bit. We learned so much about Kate from those decisions that pulling pebbles out of a bag we don't get in US Survivor. And I hope that US Survivor learns from this, because the same amount of people are going on the reward as would go on the reward in US Survivor at the same mergatory. But this is so much more interesting of a dynamic.
Yeah, I agree. And it could have been that simple where, you know, Kyle won immunity in last US season and could have been like, all right, I'm going to take these people on reward with me. Come, you know, the same thing as Kate has here. So there are these simple changes I feel like we talk about every episode that US Survivor can make, but I don't think anybody on US Survivor is even paying attention to Australian Survivor.
Yeah. Only when the players go out there. Only when a U.S. player goes and plays Australia, then they notice. Then they then their ears perk up and they say, "Uh-oh."
Yeah,
you're not wrong.
I know. I know. All right, so this all ends up taking place. We end up getting to, for me, during episode number 13, I felt like AJ was going to get booted. AJ started having those cocky confessionals. And when you have cocky confessionals, it's not looking good for you. He was getting them, and then he ends up not even getting a vote this episode. But was anybody else getting that feel?
Throughout the entire three episodes, I thought AJ's got to go or Logan's got to go because they're talking these huge games. I don't even need to play my idol tonight. I'm safe, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, somebody's got to go here. And we did have a bunch of like big dramatic boots, but it's not the big dramatic boots I would have thought of.
Mm-hmm. I think, yes, as soon as like we've been watching these shows long enough that as soon as someone's like, I'm good, I'm ready, I am running this whole like operation, you're like, You're leaving. They normally throw that right in there that you're like, yo, they're getting sent home today. So I do appreciate how, again, I hate to make this like a compare and contrast per se, but the editing formula from America is not the exact editing formula used in Australia. So it's really interesting for someone that's watching this show for time number one. Normally I'd be like, oh, they're leaving immediately, but they're not. So that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to talk about this really insane gameplay from AJ in this episode because it's going to get overlooked because it ultimately amounts to nothing. But so all of the girls want to vote Jesse out of the game, but AJ wants to boot Paulie from the game. So he convinces them all to split the votes. And then he starts going around trying to convince other people to vote for Paulie so that Paulie will get knocked out. He goes to Kristen. He goes to PD. He says, let's vote for Paulie. Like, let's, you know, he's trying to slyly do this. Almost like he's trying to convince people after the fact that Paulie goes home that I don't know how that happened. People must have just voted the wrong way. He was going around and he was doing this so smoothly. Ultimately, Jesse goes home 6-5-2. But had Jesse voted for Paulie, we very well could have had a 6-6-1. And then who knows what happens on the revote. That could have been very, very interesting. And I like to see AJ doing this. It doesn't pan out. But this guy is just refusing to go with what is simple. He will not do it.
Absolutely not. I don't know why he still has any power or clout in the game. He is someone that, as a viewer, as soon as he walks up to anyone, I'm like, stop listening. I don't know why you're doing that. And it's so odd because all the things he tries to target, I guess, Paulie for, all the adjectives, all the everything that he tries to put on Paulie is him. And I was like, that's so odd to me. He's like, that guy, like, you can't trust that guy. He's not playing an above board game, whatever else. And I was like, no, dude, that's you. And I think that that's really smart to take all of those things that you don't necessarily love about yourself and put it on someone else.
Yeah.
They call Paulie the snake oil salesman. And I'm like, then what is AJ selling? Poison? Like, yeah. And everybody's like, this is tasty.
What did Paulie do? I need answers because I still don't know.
They think they have AJ clocked. Like, Karin is just like, all right, I know the evil that AJ is, but do you, if you keep letting him snake by? And I think she is a great player, but at the same time, it's like, if we're letting AJ keep snaking by and you know that I know he's a threat, but why does he keep going through? She targets Logan later as like or wants to keep Logan in because she is like the big threat that everybody wants out. But will everybody want Logan out if AJ is out? Like, well, I don't know. Like,
here's my thing, right? So McKenna, this is 1830. Okay. You can write that timestamp down for later. You know, when I'm like, McKenna, let's put this on Instagram, because this is how I feel. I want to give Karin her flowers here, because I think the move that Karin made was brilliant here at the end of episode number 15. What she elects to do is she goes along with the plan to get Laura out of the game, but they all want to put the votes on Logan. And she says, okay, I'll do that. But I don't ultimately want Logan to actually leave. Laura is what's holding mine and Logan's relationship back at this point. Laura and Logan are too close. If I can eliminate one of them, the other will come back, work with me, and now we can work forward to try to get AJ out, to try to get Miles out, who just duped us at the episode 14 Tribal Council. And so I actually think that Karin was kind of going along with these plans for the beginning part of these episodes. And then at this moment made her decision at Tribal Council that Logan was better for her game. She saw the blow up Logan already had at AJ the night before, or however many nights before, just screaming at him about his decision. And she said, you know what? Laura goes, Logan has nowhere else to turn. I save her. She'll come to me and we can work together later to get rid of all of the snake oil salesmen, which there might be six of them on the island right now. But I think that is a potentially game-winning move from Karin, because this allows her to have the control over everybody without them even realizing that she's the one. Now, if she gets caught, she's screwed. But I don't think she's getting caught. I think she did this brilliantly.
She did say play the idol, though. So do you think Logan will have that blowback of, like, you told me to play the idol knowing Laura is going home? Like, I mean, yes, it saves Logan, but it also gets rid of Logan's closest ally.
Okay,
go ahead. Yeah.
I think for a viewer at home, you're thinking, like, she really outs herself when she says play the idol. But if you think about the information that they have on that island, that was the smartest move for her, because she still stuck to the plan and stuck to, like, her word. They cannot go back, check the numbers, and be like, but you said you would vote for her. She's like, technically, I did vote for her, which is true. It all still happened. She is not a liar. A manipulator of information, yes. But again, this might have been a game-winning move, because I think that's the best way to win a game like this, to be a manipulator of information that just gives certain things to certain people at specific moments in the game, instead of just saying one thing and doing another. We've already seen in this game, in every game, time and time again, that that doesn't work. Eventually, people are going to compare the notes. And if they compare the notes on her, she's still good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And here's one I'll ask you, Philip, based off of something McKenna just said, where is Karin going to get in trouble now from Logan, because Karin tells Logan to play the idol knowing Laura's going to go home? But Logan would have been the alternative. So I ask you, Philip, you've gotten to jump out on the island and play this game with some people. You go and you play Deal or No Deal Island. If you're the one who's in danger and you had some advantage and it saves you but takes out your closest ally, you're still thanking the person who told you to play that, no? Because you're still there. Your closest ally left, but they couldn't save both of you, and they elected to save you.
So how this kind of, like, reality show machine kind of works, because I never understood it as a viewer at home, but it's so weird that when you're, like, up for elimination and then you don't get eliminated, and that only happened to me 74,000 times anyway. So when you're up for elimination every episode, then you don't go home. When you go back to, like, the island or whatever that night, somehow, I don't know how, it's a clean slate. I don't understand it, when you're like, why is he even speaking to her? Why is he even speaking to that? But somehow you're so elated to still be there. Somehow the things are kind of washed away and you just kind of start fresh all over again. So I think for her, Logan is now in a matter of, it's going to be a matter of who put me in this position. At least she gets to play that, then be home, then be in, what's their Australian equivalent of, like, Ponderosa? I have no idea, but, like, she still is in there.
Juryville, yeah.
Oh, okay, sweet. Cool.
Because everybody else, I think, literally goes home, and then they have Juryville, which I guess now on US Survivor, if you're pre-merge, you also go home. They used to go on, like, the Australia trip. That is since gone, since COVID. I don't want to, we'll start projecting what we think is going to happen in the next episodes, but I don't want to skip over what happened in episode 14, because this is the biggest moment of these three episodes, this tribal council, where Miles successfully plays his steal an idol, steals it from Kristen, uses it against Pauly to save Pauly and ultimately eliminate Kristen's biggest alliance member, biggest ally in PD. Now everybody hates Miles because everybody was so excited to get Pauly out of the game. Pauly's now going to make the merge portion. PD was not a threat to anybody. What do we think about Miles doing this? And can we wrap our heads around how this is a good move to do it in this way for him to win the game of Survivor? I'm grimacing for those who are just listening.
If you're wondering what face I'm making, it's the exact face I made all season of Deal or No Deal. So here's the thing. I thought it was an amazing move. It was 98% of the move I wanted to see. he knew that Logan had an idol. So for me, I would have I would have stolen the idol and used it, but I would have used hers instead. But I would have done the exact same thing, because for me, it's not worth losing Pauly. He's athletic. He's charismatic. Even though there's not a lot of people that are working with him, there's not anyone that's really working with him. He has all of the strength where if it comes down to an immunity challenge, endurance challenge, strength, agility, whatever else, there's a good chance he's going to do well. So I don't know why that's not someone you wouldn't want to work as an ally for you.
See, what I would have done, because I mean, this is also based on confirmation bias, because Logan did not play her idol, but take Kristen's idol, play it for Pauly, and then their two votes knock out Logan with the idol.
And then the third vote, which would have been from Pauly, would have been for PD. So if Logan plays her idol, PD goes home. Anyway, I was very surprised that they didn't put the votes on Logan. I thought that that's where this
I thought that's what we're going to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought for sure Miles and AJ would have done this, because there's so many layers to this. And Philip, I think you brought up a good point there. Pauly is somebody who is always going to be a bigger threat than you. Therefore, they will always want to eliminate him over you. PD has one arm, can't participate in any of the challenges. He's just there. He's likable. Everybody's saying, oh, PD is so into this. He's a nice guy. He's so chill. He'll go along with anything, whatever. If PD's name's not coming up and you're Miles and you're playing this massive, aggressive game and your closest ally in the game is AJ, who is crazy aggressive, you need to make sure that people stay around who can be bigger targets than you. PD is never going to be a bigger target than you. Even if he hadn't torn his bicep, he still wouldn't be a bigger target than you. So that's where this is a good move. Now, where it's a bad move, we can get into the laundry list in a little bit. But if anybody wants to rebut that or say anything about that, go ahead.
My question for you, only because I have not still watched an Australian season all the way through.
Okay.
Do they still crown a winner via final tribal? You like make a speech and then they like
same thing.
Okay, cool, great. So my thing is, I would bring PD to the end, because there is no way that even you, even if you hate, like there's no way that you're like, he wasn't able to participate in any challenge and had one arm and all he had to do was just not go home. That would be his biggest accomplishment on the island. You can't tell me, whoever is standing next to that man, that I had to do all those things along with you on the jury and you're still going to vote for PD over me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was also a good move to get rid of PD, because like they said, he's like an immovable force. He will do what Kristen says and what Kristen says only. And I don't think he would be able to be malleable within the game. I think Kristen is a little bit more malleable. She can be a little stuck, but she's a little bit, you can work with her a little bit more than you can PD, because you know, Jesse went home, and so PD is like relying on Kristen. So without PD in the game now, that really frees up Kristen to maybe AJ could pull her in, which she winds up voting for Logan here. And when she originally wanted AJ to go. So
Okay. So I hear both of that. I do hear, like, you go to the end with PD, you can win, but I think you're so early. Like at this point, you're at final, what, 12?
Right.
Yeah. Too many people to start thinking about the very end. And I think for Miles, you want to just keep threats. Cause at this point, if Miles sits next to AJ at a final two, I think Miles wins. I think people do like Miles more for the, like, pretty much that whole coven of Laura, Karin, Zara. I think they would probably vote for Miles over AJ, because AJ's just been so wishy-washy and pissed off so many of them. Now, granted, there's still plenty of time to fix that, but that's just how I feel when we're talking final 12. My reason why this was a bad move, though, Miles sticks his head up so high. He's not the highest blade of grass anymore. He is now a gigantic root that you're saying, I need to get this weed out of my lawn because it's going to start to corrupt the entire thing. I don't know why he felt the need to do this other than have fun. I mean, that's what AJ's argument at the end was. I think he just wanted to have fun. He's playing Survivor. That can't be your main reason when you're Miles, because there's too much at stake in terms of alliances. And I do think that these women will never trust Miles again moving forward. AJ can still get in a little bit because AJ didn't ultimately make this move. He wasn't the one who did all of it. But Miles was just showboating at that point, and that's scary at Final 12.
But AJ was still the target, though. Miles was still, like, not, I wouldn't say he's under the radar because he was going for the split vote, but he still, he didn't cop the votes. He was saying, like, AJ is my janitor. I can do these big moves, and AJ will still have to clean up my messes, and they will still hate AJ more. So, I mean, Laura is gone now, but Laura was like, I'm going to save you over AJ, just so you know. So I still feel like Miles has some wiggle room because something everybody's hating AJ. I don't know what it is about the two of them that they're like, AJ's out. But if AJ's out, now it's Miles and Pauly as the duo. And Miles has set himself up. If one goes, he has another.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a game of duos.
Yeah, it is. They're highlighting that a lot.
Oh, yeah, they are. I think that AJ's greatest enemy is AJ. I think his ego is going to take him out of the game, and he's going to slip up somewhere. Because even when watching Miles do that big whatever, he had the ability to just kind of like let Miles have it. They're going to blame him. And I want to say it's Laura that asks him, did you know him about this? And he could have very easily been like, I mean, I heard a little, but like, I'm not really sure. And he's like, maybe. He like can't let it go. He can't also be like, I had nothing to do with this. A big move was made and I was not in there as well. He knows he has to be on everything. And I don't know why. I think it's just him being like, well, I want to make sure that, again, I am the ultimate survivor. But the issue with that is it's too early to think ultimate survivor. I just think that there's still so much game to be played that this is not a time for egos.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a fair point, too. If AJ wins this season, he's an all-time great. I mean, he's been all over the place. He's putting his neck out there. He is playing a Tony-level game of, I'm not hiding how aggressive I am. I'm not hiding the game that I'm playing. But we're at Final 10 now. We're at Final 10. He's got a long, long way. And I will say, Karin allowed AJ to kind of call the shot a little bit here. Let's vote for Logan, whatever. But then Karin turns around and says, Logan, play your idol. Logan plays your idol. What that says to me is Karin is now willing to go against AJ and perhaps say, let's make it Karin. Let's make it Kaylin. Let's make it Logan. And then try to get Kate and Morgan or somebody like that or Kristen and go after AJ and Miles. Now, I feel like that was a very telling moment of AJ is going to have to battle all nine people on the island with him. Are, I guess, eight of the nine, because Miles will ultimately go with him. But eight of the nine people are going to be looking and saying, let's get AJ out, let's get AJ out, let's get AJ out. And they've been saying that all along, but it seemed like he was starting to redeem himself a little bit in Karin's eyes and some other people. Let's get the graduates back together. Won't that be great? And Kaylin's going along with it, and Kristen, and it, all of a sudden everybody's like, that would be nice. Nope, there's no way. The graduates, no. Like, no way.
Zara's still in on the graduates, though, so it'll be interesting to see what happens between Karin and Zara this next episode, because Karin was like, I don't know if this is gonna make me blow up with my duo, but now Logan's that free agent that Karin can just re-duo.
Yeah.
I have a hot take, and I know that you're gonna be like, you're watching this too passionately. Zara and I are still in a fight. I hate what she did with I just hate the idea that like she hijacked an advantage, and I know that it didn't ultimately result in almost anything because they merged like an hour later. Sure, great. But still, that to me proves the kind of person you are. And I'm like, ew, hate that. I thought after like an episode or so that I would be able to like move on and be like Elsa and let it go. I just haven't. I haven't. I'm still mad. I don't know why.
No, and, I mean, that's valid.
Yeah, I mean, and we talked about it in episode 13 is the last time this was brought up, where Logan gets the story from Laura about what Zara did. And Logan just immediately says, I want her out. And I think that's what's been so fun about Logan. I don't know how you all feel, and maybe I'm being biased because she was my preseason winter pick, the only one I think I have left, right, McKenna? Because I had Jesse. I had
– No, you have Morgan.
Oh, I have Morgan. Okay, but Morgan's not winning because Morgan's barely talked on the season. But when I look at this, Logan feels like – the. I feel like Logan can still win this game despite how emotional she is playing at times. She gets aggressive. She gets in people's faces. Laura's last words tonight were, I feel bad for everybody going back to the beach with Logan because they're going to have to deal with her wrath. And mm-hmm. she has been delivering on that wrath. She is coming out. She's telling you how she feels, and she is getting in your face. And there are absolutely people on that island right now that she can beat if she sits next to them at a final tribal council, because they've pissed off the rest of the jury more than she has. So I feel like Logan's constantly had her back against the wall, and I'm trying to figure out, is this season's story about AJ and Miles and how they ran the game kind of like Wendell and Dom and won the whole thing? Or is this season's story about Logan and Karin and how they kept having to navigate all of the chaos of what these guys were doing, but ultimately came out on top? Because I do feel that our winner is probably one of those four, and Zara falls just outside of that for me, because we're not hearing enough personal stuff from Zara. And when we are seeing stuff from Zara, it's leaving our poor man Philip here worried that he's going to have to be in a fight with her for years and years and years to come. I am concerned that Zara really doesn't have a chance to win at this point.
Yeah, no, she's definitely not winning, because we aren't getting like certain talks. Like, we're not getting, we got a moment of her and Kaylin, but we're not getting a lot of, you know, one-on-one with Zara and someone else. We're getting Zara in a big group. I think she's toast. Pretty much everyone's toast, unless somehow the snake oil salesman makes it to the end. Like, he's the only one besides those four that I could see having a path.
Yeah, I could see it, Pauly.
Justice for Pauly. I just know what it's like to be in a situation. I want to say I was in like final seven. And so everyone's like paired up and working together. And there's just like one on the outside. And I will say, like, now as a viewer getting to take a step outside of it, no one on that island hated me. I just wasn't anyone's number one. I was always like somebody's number two. And like, that's great when you look at the grand scheme of things, because I was everyone's number two, and that's okay. But it's that like, who's working with me? Nobody. And I was like, oh God, someone please put their hand up. Somebody put it up. Like, it's so hard to watch, because you can tell he's such a normal, nice, likable, charismatic man in the real world. And so it's hard to put yourself in this situation. You're like, why aren't more people working with him? I feel like they've built up a persona and a resume in their head that he hasn't necessarily followed through on. And so because of that, they won't really bring it to that humanistic place with him and sit down and like ask things.
Yeah, I think that's why we have Miles saving Pauly, because they were both on the bottom for so long, and he was like, you know what, I can use this. And Pauly came back and was like, I'm at your service, my liege. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. you have my vote, just tell me where, no questions asked. And that's going to be insane moving forward, to have basically an extra vote in your pocket. And that leaves me to think, like, where the heck is Kaylin? Because he's also not in a duo. Like, everyone's now targeting duos in these upcoming episodes, but they're saying that within a duo themselves. So it's like, it's not that smart for you to be targeting duos or saying like, oh, I want to break these two up, when you yourself are in a duo.
I mean, we have, what is it? So Logan won the first immunity, and then Kaylin won the next two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Kaylin wins two immunities. I still don't feel like I really know where Kaylin stands. I feel like Kaylin's just there.
I don't even know him at all. If you said, what does that man do for a living? Tell me anything about him other than in the game. I don't know anything. And that to me has nothing to do with him, but it's just a matter of like, is the edit really telling us that you don't have to know anything? And like, that's a little scary.
And Australian Survivor does have a way of doing that, where they, you know, the people who aren't going to win, they really do leave them out. I feel like that's where Morgan's at. I feel like that's where Kaylin's at. And it's funny, because when you see Jesse and PD go, McKenna and I were talking last week about how we hadn't heard from PD at all, and Jesse had disappeared pretty much. Like, he had pretty much disappeared. He came back here and there, but you know, Jesse was a likable guy. His last words were amazing when he didn't even remember the name of his tribe, and he's trying to say, he's like, what were we again? Just like ask a break in the fourth wall. I love that. And so like, Jesse and was good, could have been good TV. They just elected not to make him that. Kate is the one who's really picked up. But like, when you look at Kristen, when you look at Kalen and when you look at Morgan, it's almost like the edit is telling us, don't worry about their opinions, even though all three of them have been very integral to the votes that are taking place.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's becoming tough. I want to bring up this question here. And my computer is frozen. So
which question?
Okay, hold on. We're back. Okay. I don't know what just happened. So Jairo D. Garcia says, it was to me, but I'm asking it to all of you. I feel like we're setting up a male winner of Australian Survivor this season. Is that what we're all feeling? Or do you think that Karin or Zara or Logan can pull this out?
All in on Karin. Still. Okay. Going to keep it until she may or may not go out.
I'm going to agree with you completely on that. I don't know why, but I think that in looking at the season that I've seen so far, she has been a perfect blend of being a physical threat and maintaining the relationships and pulling the trigger when she needs to. Also, as someone who is afraid of water and swimming and took 3 weeks of swimming lessons before I went to the island, that challenge scared the crap out of me. And like, it wasn't even me. Like, I was at home and I was like, I can't breathe. I don't know what's happening. Like, I don't know what was happening, but that challenge is so hard.
Meanwhile, you're like that. And I'm like, I want to do that one day. Because like, it's such a classic Survivor challenge. So it's like, that is like one, whenever I see something like that, I'm like, yep, can't wait.
Philip, I empathize with that because I hate heights like with a passion. Can't stand them. Can't go above like the third floor on balconies and stuff. Drives me crazy. And so I had watched like the beginning of Free Solo, the movie about the guy who climbs El Capitan out in Yosemite or Half Dome, whatever it is, where he goes and climbs that and he does it without a harness or anything. And I'm watching him do it. And I know he's alive. I know he's still like doing everything. I know that this is a documentary and that the man is still making documentaries. And I'm watching, I'm like, he's gonna fall. I don't like looking down at that. And I'm watching it on a screen that's like, you know what, 12 inches. Like, why is it like, why am I being this bothered by? I can turn and look at a wall in my house. So I totally empathize with how you were going through that challenge because there's certain parts of movies and stuff where I'm like, they're on the edge of a building. You see Tom Cruise on the Burj Khalifa. I lose my mind. I lose my absolute mind watching that. So all right. So you guys are in on Karin then. Mm-hmm, and not Logan. What is it about Karin that's leading you to believe that we only have 3 weeks of the show left. So what is it that's leading you to believe it's going to be Karin and not Logan? And do you think that Logan and Karin are now going to work together for the remainder of the season?
I think Karin has been making moves, but they haven't been Miles moves. Like they haven't been loud, flashy. Logan has had this story arc of nobody listens to me and I can't put a vote through. So when you get to final tribal council and Karin is like, well, I did this, that, and the other thing. And if say they're there together and the only reason you're here, Logan, is because I told you to play the idol. I was the one that, you know, made that all that happen. I wanted Laura to go out so I could get you close to me. So like, there's all these things that I think Karin has more in her pocket than Logan does. Now, could Logan just like rage quit the beach and just be like, ah, everyone's got to go? Sure. But I think Karin has been doing it more tactfully.
Yeah, I think that she's been showing that she's a systematic game player that makes the moves that seem the most level-headed for her long-term game. There's not a single move that I can say came from her that I was like, that was driven by bravado or ego or wanting to let everyone else know how powerful she is. I think the best part about this player is that the viewer and Karin herself are the only ones that know how powerful she is in the game. And I think those are the people that win, the people that make the big moves, the powerful ones in front of everyone. It's great because you get like a temporary win in front of everyone, but you eventually get a big loss in front of everyone because now they know that the power is in your hands.
Yeah. Diana Manzo here says, Karin's edit has been so stable. I'm putting her in as a winner. Second possibility I see is a Miles win. Miles and AJ, we had a comment earlier that was comparing it to the Nicaragua final three, but Miles, AJ, and Kalen potentially was something that somebody said. If that were to be the final three, I mean, I think in that one, Miles probably does win. I don't know if the jury is going to respect AJ's game as much. And I do think AJ's biggest mistake would be sitting next to Miles because I think Miles would be so emphatic and excited and all of this with his final Jerry speech. And I think AJ would try to get too cerebral with it. Yep. And I think people would connect more with Miles, and Miles would end up winning it there over him.
Miles would get like that personal anecdote in, and AJ will be too game body. And Miles would be like, I was at the bottom, then I reconnected and got Pauly and did all these things to get me here. And I wasn't afraid of sitting next to AJ because I've made more personal connections. And, you know, I think Miles bringing AJ is a power move rather than a like risk.
Agree.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it—a power move to take him. So, I think we pretty much covered everything from the episodes. But you know, as we continue to look forward and everything like that, what's the fallout? Laura's gone. Logan played her idol. The only idol now that is in the game is Miles' idol, because Kristen's has been used, and then Logan's was just used, and nobody has found one since. So the only idol that's in the game is the one that Miles has. What's the fallout? Is this going to be, okay, people now want to start working with Logan? People are going to say, nope, Logan, you just survived an extra 2 days. Congratulations, you're out of here next time. Do people start to finally look at Miles and AJ? Or are we going to start to see some of the people that we aren't really hearing from take the fall now week after week until we get to, you know, a more exciting finale, I guess?
I would love to tell you that Logan is going to take this opportunity to calmly reflect and reevaluate her gameplay and the alliances and the interpersonal relationship she has made. But we all know that is not going to happen. And so I love the fact that she is about to go back and just set everything ablaze. I don't think that is necessarily a winner edit thing to do, but I do know that it's important to let reality contestants be who they are instead of who we want them to be. And that's who she is. Let's be honest.
It's gonna be fire. Go ahead, McKenna.
I find myself thinking, like, I thought Logan was going to be such a different player when we did the cast assessment. I thought she was going to be, you know, a Karin type where it was like very strategic and sound mind, but she is this emotional player, and, you know, emotions could win you the game. It's possible. It's just not often. People kind of think your emotional outbursts aren't strategic or aren't, you know, welcome when it comes to a final tribal council. I mean, that's why we see Carolyn not get much for votes.
Yeah, she didn't get any votes.
I know. Yeah. So it Logan has a rough journey ahead of her to like solidify herself as like a vote getter, but maybe in a final two situation, because we still don't know if it's going to be final two or final three, because Australian Survivor kind of bounces between the two. So it'll be interesting to see the end game and who gets there, because Kaylin, if he keeps winning immunity and he keeps following along with votes, why not keep him around? I think we see like Kristen go within these next three boots. We might see one of Kate or Morgan go, and I don't think it's going to be Kate, because AJ will probably want to keep Kate around if he has a say. So
you want it? Go ahead, Philip. You go first, because I got a long one.
Okay, my question for you guys is this, only because I'm really seeing it more in American Survivor, the new era especially. Do you think at the end of the game, looking forward, are people actually casting their vote for who they personally believe should win? Or has the show gotten so much bigger than itself and referencing itself and having its own Hall of Fame of celebrities that like now they're voting for who would be a good person in the Survivor Hall of Fame instead of who won the experience that they were in? Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And that's something that people think about all the time. I mean, right, we saw in Survivor 47, Andy says to Rachel, you're going to be compared to these three winners. You know that that's not a good thing. And I would have sat there and said, Andy, I would love to be compared to those three winners, because they're all winners of Survivor. Like, I would have been totally content. And also, I think they're three of the most overhated winners of Survivor, just because they won it in a physical way rather than in a strategic way, which I don't think there's a rhyme or reason. But it's funny, Bill, that you asked this question, because it's going to go to what my statement was going to be, which is, I still feel that so much of this season was about Logan and Laura getting back together. That was so much of what the first couple episodes of this season about. Really, like the first all 4 weeks were about how are we going to get back together? We got to get back. And now we see Laura get voted out, and she's the first member of the jury. And to me, and maybe I'm also looking at this too much as an American Survivor viewer, but to me, that screams, we saw the whole story that played out because Logan's going to sit on that jury and or on Final Tribal. She's going to be there facing the jury. And Laura wasn't able to help Logan in the game, but Laura is going to ultimately cast a vote for Logan because she likes Logan the most. And potentially that could be what drives this game is if Logan is sitting next to Miles and AJ, the women might all just vote for Logan because at that point, Logan hasn't stabbed them all in the back.
Agreed completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think a question also is like, maybe not, will they vote for someone who they want to be in the, you know, Hall of Fame? It's just like, who do they like more and who did they not necessarily who played the best strategy? So say it's like AJ and PD in the end, right? Like you were saying, they could just give PD votes because they liked him more. So there, I don't know which way they're going to go. I hope it's based on some form of, you know, strategy or the way that they're pitching themselves in Final Tribal Council, because sometimes that Final Tribal Council does matter to be able to showcase your game. So I hope they don't just come in with a closed mind. And like, I mean, we obviously know Laura's probably going to vote for Logan, but, you know, some of the other people like, you know, Kate, maybe she's not all in on AJ, but, you know, has a piece of her that could go somewhere else depending on who's in the finals.
Yeah. I mean, I think all of that is fair. I think it's going to go about 50-50, Philip, honestly. I think that you're probably going to see about half the people vote for just who they like more and half the people vote based on strategy, because the way that this is shaking up, I don't see a final two or a final three of all people who are well-liked by this jury. And we have seen such a screaming match between so many people that if it's AJ, if it's Logan, if it's Kaylin, there's going to be a reason to dislike all three of them. And Kaylin's been the most likable probably from the entire cast, but also they could look at him in a final three and say, well, what did you do?
Right.
You just flip-flopped back and forth. You didn't actually help anybody. So I think that we are heading for what is probably going to be a pretty loud and aggressive Final Tribal Council. So we'll see.
Well, loud and aggressive is my specialty, everybody.
did I miss anything from this episode, McKenna? I know you take better notes than I do. So was
I
there
don't
anything that you want to talk about?
Think we missed much.
Oh, can I know what we missed. I know what we missed. Philip, you're an American. I'm an American. McKenna, you're an American. What do we think about what the American feast was from the Australian Survivor perspective?
I'm no down for that
feast. Burgers, chicken burgers. What'd you think?
They were like, yo, let's go to Applebee's and just like do it up. I'm like, is that what you guys think that we eat? But at the same time, I was like, that looks delicious. But also,
when you think of American feast, it's like, all right, what can I get at a diner?
Mm-hmm.
And they said sliders. And I was like, you know what? Okay.
Milkshake, I'm down. Let's get it.
I think about trying to eat all of that at once now. Like, you know, as my younger self, I could have done that. I could have had the wings and the burger and the milkshake and I would have been fine. I would have been chilling. Nowadays, I'm like, man, that would hurt. And I'm thinking about these people who haven't eaten anything at all. And I know how my stomach feels after getting like a Chili's triple dipper. And I know how my stomach feels after that. So how's your stomach going to feel when you haven't eaten anything really for 40 days and then you just stuff your face with this?
Well, we don't talk about this enough on Survivor, the fact that they're not eating anything and then they just like shovel garbage. That I was like, there must be some digestive effects that they cannot air on network television in America, because we don't talk about that enough.
I've talked a lot about this. So a couple of years ago, I had to get part of my colon removed because I had a case of complicated diverticulitis, which is essentially, they didn't have it complicated, but they had diverticulitis, was what Bruce got taken out of the game for and what Joe Del Campo got taken out of the game for. And what happened was they didn't eat anything and then they ate a lot of red meat and then their body couldn't digest it. And so I always say, if I went on Survivor, if I'm playing the game, I'm sticking to the rice and beans and water. And like, if I win a reward, I'm going to be the person like a squirrel in the corner, because I know, and I'd have to have the mind control, because obviously you're starving, but I have to have the mind control of like, you're not going to get enough water to stay hydrated. And I'd be the one getting medevaced from the game at like 33, 34 years old for having a massive blockage, like the people who are in their 50s and 70s had. But yeah, I don't know how these people do it. And I'm glad that they don't talk about it too much. But if you ever want a great podcast about it, Tyson did a great one where he explained the token chains. I think it was token chains. When he got out of there, when he got voted out, and he goes and he's at Ponderosa, and he just ate so many hot dogs and stuff, and how like it got to the point where like he couldn't stop shitting. It was just awful. And like that, I think about that. I mean, it's crazy.
They did make us like a small comment of how Kate has been on so many rewards though. Mm-hmm. So if you're being taken on many rewards, then your stomach will adjust. Yeah. But I fear for her, if she doesn't go on a stretch of rewards and then goes on one again, that could be a little rough.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Now we've gotten into the important topics about Australian Survivor. I mean, yep. I loved seeing that though, because it's like American Feast. I remember we went to Greece. When I used to work in international film sales, we went to the Cannes Film Festival and then went to Greece after. And we showed up in Greece. We went to Malia, Crete, which we didn't realize. We went there for 2 days and then we went around the rest of the islands. But we didn't realize that Malia, Crete was like the British spring break place. So it was like, oh, British food, British this, British that. And I'm like, we're not in Greece. But it was funny because it was like, what do British people like? And it was like ribs and chicken and like all of this stuff that like you're just not going to eat in Greece. And so it's funny to see what Australians think of with Americans. And honestly, everything on that plate is stuff I crave once a week. So they were not wrong about what we want.
Karin did say she ate 10 sliders and was very sick afterwards.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Philip, anything else you want to throw in here? You want to give a, I don't think you can give a tease, but you want to give a little like, hey, don't forget Deal or No Deal tonight.
Here's what I will say. If you love Survivor and you love shows like this, the final Deal or No Deal Island Excursion is very Final Tribal. I will definitely say this is the first time in the history of the show that they told us it was important to the final competitors that they learn not to burn bridges and their relationships really do matter. So what I will say is stay tuned because your boy comes back heated.
Wouldn't expect anything less.
So Deal or No Deal Island airs tonight at what, 10 o'clock, right? I always watch the next morning.
I want to say it's 9 because I watch it at 8 in Austin. Yep.
Yeah. So it's 9 o'clock. I always watch the next morning because Blake and I, we recap on Wednesday. So Blake and I will be live tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be recapping the penultimate episode of Deal or No Deal Island. So make sure.
And Blake will still hate me tomorrow. Don't worry. He's going to be like, no, you know, this episode felt so much lighter and happier for me. Yeah, I don't know why. I just think so that.
Nope. We didn't have much spirit. About his fears. We didn't have any fears. It's so nice. Like, yeah, I know. So we'll be jumping into that. So make sure you all tune in and check that out tomorrow afternoon. McKenna and I will be back again next week on Tuesday with Australian Survivor Week 6 recap, episodes 16 through 18. Regular Survivor episode tomorrow. So Will and I will be recapping that afterwards. Blake and I will be doing Digging Deeper on Thursday. I just had JD Robinson on this past Sunday, and we did our predictions of power rankings for this week. If you haven't checked out that episode, JD is an absolute treat to have on the podcast. I love him. He's so good. He knows his stuff. He loves the game. So make sure you check that one out. McKenna's got the Amazing Race episode number three on Friday. So that, or Thursday.
You're doing Thursday.
That'll be morning. On Thursday. I'm going to get it right one of these days. And,
Friday's the rewind. There you go.
Friday's the rewind. That's what it is. Yes. And I have a guest for Sunday, but I need to make sure that it's still my guest for Sunday. I'm still waiting to hear back. So thank you all so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this. Philip, thank you so much. Everybody, become a patron. Patreon.com/thespecialist. Listen to McKenna and I talk Brains vs. Brawn 1 on Fridays, right alongside what we're doing here with Brains vs. Brawn 2 and plenty of other fun stuff going on over there. Philip, parting words, anything? Your second time, how do we do? Is it better, worse, indifferent?
So much better not talking about myself, please. This is great. I am so glad to talk about anyone else.
Love it. Well, thank you all so much. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time.
All right, bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.